You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is Halloween, Tuesday, October 31st, 2017. Thanks so much for joining us. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe to it. Your options include iTunes and Spotify. And please give the show a good review in iTunes. While you're doing it, leave your Twitter handle and you'll have a chance to get a free subscription to Pro Football Focus. The Jets are halfway through the 2017 season. They lost to Atlanta to fall to 3-5 on Sunday, and now a short week awaits. The Jets actually have a game Thursday night against the Buffalo Bills. But since we are at the halfway point through the season, I'm going to do a little review today on the first half of the year and give out maybe a few awards, so to speak. Now, I mean, they're not really awards. They're John B. podcast proclamations, so I'm not sure how big of a deal these things are. But a couple of things I'd like to talk about, just recapping the first half and maybe looking a little bit to the second half. Now, when it comes to the most valuable player on the team, I think at this point of the year, I'm going to go with a rookie, and it's probably not the rookie I would have expected at the start of the year. I probably would have guessed it would be Jamal Adams, who I think, you know, he's had some growing pains. There have been some rough moments for Adams. I think overall, though, he showed a lot of promise, and I think he's been a positive. I think he's going to continue to grow. I think he's going to be an excellent player. And I know that there's the narrative around the team that maybe the Jets made a mistake taking Adams, because you look at what Deshaun Watson is doing in Houston. I mean, Watson's off to a phenomenal start. He's setting records. And look, I mean, obviously, I think if you could do it over, quarterback trumps all. But I don't think you're going to look back on that Adams pick with regret. I really do feel like if you get a good player, you never regret it. And I think Adams is going to be a solid player. But I think so far this year, the best player on this team, the guy I'd give the MVP award to right now, would be Marcus May, the second-round pick. And back during the preseason, I kind of wondered whether May might have a bit of a learning curve. And look, there have been some moments where he's looked like a rookie. There was the play against Rob Gronkowski a few weeks ago. And, I mean, there have been moments here or there where maybe he took a bad angle. But overall, he's been superb. And they've put a lot on his plate as the last line of defense. So I think that May would be my top guy. You look at the number of breakdowns the Jets are having. Now, I know they've allowed a lot of big plays against them, and but they aren't having the same just mind-boggling breakdowns that they had a year ago. And a lot of that's a credit to the job May is doing in the back of the defense. He's been pretty solid back there. He's been done a really solid job. I think he's performed at a level beyond anybody's wildest expectations. I think he's done an excellent job back there. And if you're asking me who the best player on this team has been through eight games, I'd probably give you Marcus May. Which leads us into the best rookie. And I mean, I have all these things written out. I'd go best rookie, best value draft pick. And again, I think it's all May. Now, best value draft pick, a few weeks ago, I may have gone with Elijah McGuire, who was looking really solid as a sixth-round pick. He's kind of seen his playing time reduced, and he really hasn't been as productive the last few weeks as he was looking early in the year. I like McGuire. I think I've seen some skills from him. But I think the answer to all these is May. May has just done an excellent job when it comes to playing the last line of defense for this team. You rarely see him make a mistake. You rarely see him out of position. Really just excellent work. And that's not a knock on Adams, because I think what you've seen through the first half of this year is guys who aren't perfect. You don't expect perfection from rookies, but two guys who look like they may lock the safety position down for a long time for this team. And when we talk about the draft, one of the things, and I've said this before, that drives me crazy is when people view the way a team should draft as only through what their needs are at that moment. Well, there are lots of different ways to view things, and one of the things that this shows you this past year is that as much as anything, the draft is about eliminating needs, because the way Adams and May have looked this year, the Jets are probably not going to need to draft a safety for a long time. They're not going to need to sign a safety for a long time, if all things break right. You know, you never can tell. Sometimes a guy gets off to a fast start and something happens. Maybe he deals with injury. Maybe just doesn't grow as a player. You know, there are other things that can come into play, so you can never say for sure. But you have to be very encouraged by what you see. Now let's go to the best off-season decision. It's actually a series of decisions, and I have to give Mike Maccagnan a lot of credit because he made a lot of moves in the offseason, and some people criticized them. And to be honest with you, I thought he cut a little too deep. I thought there were too many veterans he let go. And in the case of David Harris, I think you really have to question the way the Jets handled things. The Jets did not handle things well with David Harris. That was one that you have to have a problem with. The issue is not they made a football decision. The issue is how they handled it. They did not treat a veteran player the right way. Now, that said, I think you have to give the Jets a lot of credit for cutting the guys they did. They pretty much cleaned house this offseason. They let most of their name players go, lots of expensive guys. They got criticism for it. They did. A lot of people, and that's where the tanking talks started, how many big-name players they let go. Well, you look at it, how many of these players are really playing effectively for their new team? Not many. Really, you've not seen much production out of the guys the Jets lost. Now, that's no great surprise. These were the guys that made up last year's 5-11 team, so you weren't necessarily expecting these guys. These are a lot of big-name players, guys who have been to a lot of Pro Bowls during their careers, guys with good reputations in this league. You knew that they were not star-level players anymore, but it felt like, at least to me, like some of them could be role players. Some of them could go somewhere else and have success. And yeah, it made sense for the Jets to cut them because they weren't playing at their salary level anymore. Well, as it turns out, a lot of these guys just have not gone anywhere and produced much at all. And I compared it during the offseason to cutting to the bone. Well, in a way, the Jets did, but I in a way, they also kind of just cut the fat. I mean, there are not many of these guys the Jets let go when you think of these big names. Now, some of them were obvious. I mean, they had to cut Revis. There was no way they could bring Revis back at anything resembling his salary, and Revis was finished. If you look at some of the other guys, Mangold, Brandon Marshall, Harris, I mean, there's guys, not a lot of guys producing in other stops. So I think the Jets deserve some credit for that. I think the Jets made the right decisions. And look, I mean, we all knew that some of those guys had to go, but the fact that none of those guys have been all that productive with a new team, I think it shows you that they knew what they were doing on that front, and they were questioned on that front. And look, I understand that the Jets brought these guys in to begin with. The Jets overpay with them to begin with, so can't give them too much credit, but I think that they've proven to be sound moves. Now, what's the move I would question most in the offseason? And I know some of you are going to go with the Watson decision to pass on Deshaun Watson. Again, I like Adams. I wasn't questioning it at the time, although you know I like Deshaun. I thought Watson was a promising quarterback, but I can't complain about Jamal Adams. I think he's going to be a good player. The one I question is the decision to bring Wesley Johnson in as center. Not just the decision to bring him in, but to give him minimal competition. They brought in Harrison from the Colts, who really was competition in name only. Another issue I have with that is the contract they gave him. They gave him a second round tender, which was like a 1-year contract. And Johnson's actually paid right around the midpoint of center salaries in this league. And that's just a move that really, it left me scratching my head at the time, because when it came to Johnson last year, there was one really excellent game he played. He played a lot for Nick Mangold because Mangold was hurt last year. He played one really excellent game, and it was against the San Francisco 49ers. And you have to remember, there are two things that stick out about it. One is there's really only one excellent game in that mix. And the second is against a team that was really bad. It was not top competition he was playing. And the Jets just decided to go with him at center. And center is a really important position. It's a guy who helps set the blocking schemes, got to be quick off the ball, a lot on his plate. And Johnson just has not been up to it. And I even thought that Johnson showed you enough last year that maybe you could slide him over to guard. I'm not sure I love it, but maybe you could slide him over to guard. I didn't think he was up to the center position. And it's not so much that the Jets brought him back. It's that, one, the salary they brought him back in, and two, that they didn't bring in any competition for him. And this was not a proven guy. This was a guy who was going to require some competition. And as I said on yesterday's show, I mean, you've seen the Jets seasons, if you've followed this team for long enough, where the one weak link brings down the entire line. It's 2011 Wayne Hunter right tackle. I mean, that year, you may remember Jets' first passing attempt of the season. Mark Sanchez drops back. Hunter gets beat for a sack. And that was an omen for the rest of the year. 2007, Jets get into that contract dispute with Pete Kendall over, I think, $1 million. They send him out, bring in scrap heap guard Adrian Clark, and Clark struggles mightily. And that $1 million they didn't pay for Kendall required them to spend a ton of money to sign Alan Faneca the next offseason. I mean, that was, they ended up spending a lot more because they wouldn't play ball with Kendall. That cost them a lot of money because they had to go and get Faneca after that year. And Johnson's, you know, having that same kind of effect. The offensive line struggling, and you got a lot. You have some guys who are struggling, but Johnson sticks out most among them. And I wonder how this offensive line would be different with higher quality center play. And I understand, look, the Jets did not have a ton of resources to play with, but I just don't love the way they handled that position. And to close out, I'm gonna give you one thing I'm looking forward to in the second half. And it's kind of the thing to watch. And for me, the question of whether Todd Bowles can do enough to save his job. And as I've said many times over the last few weeks, things change quickly in the NFL. Just a few weeks ago, I was talking about him as a Coach of the Year candidate. And I think that was fair because the team was exceeding expectations. Well, now, a few weeks later, team's 3-5. And I think we all know that this Jets team is probably not built to make the playoffs. But you can't have a disastrous season. I think what you want to see is you want to see the coaching take the team to a level higher than its talent. You want to see the team win more games than its talent level, because that's coaching. Now, the talent level is quite low on this team. It's not a great roster at all. But you also don't want to be the worst team. Just because you have the worst talent in the league doesn't mean you want to be the worst team in the league. You want to win a few more games. And that's the question. I think Mike Maccagnan's probably back. I think Maccagnan's shown you enough that he's probably going to be back in 2018, and I'd be inclined to agree with that move. I think Maccagnan's shown you enough to get one more year. I'm not convinced, I'm not sold at all on Maccagnan as the long-term guy, but I think he's shown you enough that, to earn another season. Question now is with Bowles. Will Bowles show you enough? And my belief is that the two should be tied at the hip. I've said that many times. I'm not sure that's how that's going to play out. Question is, can the Jets win enough? And the Jets have lost 3 winnable games the last 3 weeks. Now, Pats 2 weeks ago, okay, that's one thing. They're the Patriots. And as I said yesterday, 14-0 against the Patriots is not 14-0 against other teams. Last 2 weeks, they've let winnable games slip away. You can't do that consistently. You got to win some of these games. Talk about the team learning. Talk about the team developing. You want a young team. Well, part of team developing is learning how to win these games. Jets can't let these games slip away. There have been some good things, there have been some bad things from the coaching staff this year, but the last couple weeks the Jets have let winnable games slip away, and that's going to have to change. This cannot turn into a habit, and at 3-5, this thing is in danger, and it's not necessarily going to happen immediately, even if they lose this week, but this is in danger. You're kind of in danger of falling into one of those free falls that kind of just saps everything out of a season. So the Jets need to avoid that. If they do, I think Bowles gets a fourth year. If they don't, if this is the beginning of a collapse, then I think you could be in some trouble. So that's all I have to say on that front. Obviously, a big trade in the NFL yesterday. Patriots send Jimmy Garoppolo to the 49ers for a second-round pick, and I understand what both teams are doing, but man, I think it's a weird time for that trade. Don't you? Patriots, I mean, you have to think they could have gotten a second-round pick for Garoppolo in the offseason. Now you wait till the middle of the year when Brady's getting hit at an alarming rate. And I know Brady's in good shape, but that body, you know, a 40-year-old body can only take so much punishment, no matter how good a shape you're in. Trade your insurance, and then San Francisco gives up a second-round pick for a handful of games of Garoppolo when he was about to be a free agent. And maybe the from the New England side, I'm thinking, I know, understand that it's not simple to just put a franchise tag on a guy and deal him, but there still would be a market for Garoppolo in the offseason. You could hold on to him for insurance in case something happens to Brady. And they did it with Matt Cassel, so, you know, there would be a market for him if you did it. I understand it's tricky. And I understand the San Francisco side. This guarantees you get Garoppolo, but, and maybe you have to compete with more teams in the offseason if they franchise him, but you're only getting a handful of games out of him. He's got to learn the playbook. He's got to develop chemistry with the receivers. Even if this is a tryout, and the second round picks a lot for give a guy a tryout, even if it's a tryout and you're not signing him to an extension until you see more, how good of an example are you getting? How good of a sample are you getting? He's got to learn the playbook. He's got to develop chemistry with the receivers. It's a lot he's got to do. I mean, you give him a training camp, he's got a fighting chance. I don't know what you're really going to learn out of him over these last few games. So I can see the argument, but for both sides, but weird timing, I think. And as far as the Jets go at the trade deadline, I don't expect much to happen. I'm not sure how much trade value the guys on the Jets have. I do think the Jets should be sellers, though. This is a team, just like in any sport, like baseball, your baseball team falls out of it in July. You trade pieces, try and get young players. Same concept, NBA, you know, your team's out of it. Try and get assets for your players. And I think the Jets are in that spot. They're probably not going to the playoffs. Most of the players 27 and older. If I could get anything, I could get a late round pick for them. I'm doing it because at the end of the day, you're not going to the playoffs either way. It's all about 2018 and beyond at this point at 3-5. So if there's a guy who's in the last year of his deal, or even a guy who's not, if you can get a good deal for him, get an asset, young player in return, this is the beginning of a rebuild, so should look to do it. That's all I have for you today. Thanks for tuning in. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to the show, iTunes, and Spotify, and please give it a good rating. Have a safe night if you're going out for Halloween. Take care. We will be back again on Wednesday.